Now we come to this very marvelous 13th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and it is in this section of the endowment of gifts. And actually, the thing that called it forth was that Paul had said in the last verse of chapter 12, verse 31, he says, "But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way." Now, we ought to covet the best gifts. I think that we have a right to do that, and I do want to say again, because I had to say it in such a limited time last time, I had heard Dr. Ironside, and I had graduated from a college where the emphasis was put on the intellectual and the philosophical, and I was trying to be that kind of a preacher. And I wanted to, you know, to preach way up high. And then I heard Dr. Ironside make the statement, "Put the cookies on the bottom shelf so the kiddies can get them." And then the Lord had said, "Feed my sheep." He didn't say, "Feed my giraffes." So I asked the Lord, I said, "Let me teach like he teaches." And then when Dr. Ironside passed on, I had substituted for him at the Dallas Seminary. And then when he passed on, Dr. Chafer called me and said, "Would you take his lectures here at the seminary?" And I almost rudely just hung up the phone. I couldn't answer very clearly. I just dropped on my knees, and I must confess, I wept. I thanked God. I said, "Lord, I prayed that you'd let me teach like he teaches, and at least my teacher thinks maybe I do. And I thank you for that." And may I say to you, I think you have a right to ask God for the best gifts. And I don't know about you, and I want to say this kindly. There are several people who have written, says, "We certainly hope you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." Well, for your information, I have received it, not as an experience or something I got after a say, but the Holy Spirit put me in the body of believers, and that's the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then they said, "We hope you'll speak in tongues," and I just hope I can speak in the English language a little better. That's the thing I'm interested in. And for that reason, may I say to you that the gift that God gives is for the profit, the wealth of the church, to be helpful. Now, he says, though, regardless of the gift, there's a way that the gift should be exercised, and that's important. That's all important. Henry Drummond, years ago, wrote a very brilliant essay entitled, "The Greatest Thing in All the World." It was a book put in my hands very early after I became a Christian. And that little book is a great little book. It's on the 13th of 1 Corinthians. Now, many attempted to give an exposition of what is properly labeled here the love chapter of the Bible. And may I say that I do not think that I've preached on it only once or twice in my ministry. I teach it when I come to it like this, but very candidly, some passages just pass beyond my comprehension and capability. This is one of them. John 3:16 is another. Now, the word here should be love, not charity. Wycliffe and the Vulgate made it charity, and that's been followed ever since. But the proper word is love. It's agapo. And you do not have actually a definition of love here. And if you try to define it, you come to a very serious violation of this chapter. A definition, I think, sometimes is destruction. You try to define a rose, by the way, and try to read the description of a rose that botany gives you. Well, I want to say to you that they don't tell me what a rose is like I know a rose to be. Have you ever had anyone to tell you about the glory of a sunset? May I say to you, one evening down in the Virgin Islands, I was on the deck of a little boat, the Shellback, and I saw the moon come up. Oh, I want to tell you, I can't describe it to you. I wish I could. Oh, it just thrills you. It just makes goose pimples come up all over you. Now, you have a display of love here, not a definition. And we do have to deal with the mechanics of the chapter. We'd understand it. And I want to commit now an unpardonable sin. Here is a division, and that is devastation. But let me say that there are three words in the Greek that are translated by our one word, love. There is the word eros. That is the word of passion, a word used for lust. It's used of Aphrodite and Eros, and as we know it, of Venus and Cupid. It speaks of that which has to do with sex. In fact, that would be our word for it today. It does not occur in the New Testament at all. And then there's the word phileo. That means affection. We find it in the word Philadelphia. We find it in philanthropos, love of man, love of brother here in Philadelphia. Human love at its highest. It's a noble thing. And the word agapao, that means love at its very highest. And I think actually that in the scripture, in the New Testament, it speaks of divine love. And love's not in the motions, but actually in the will. Love picks the object, and it's a definition of God, and it is spiritual. Now let me give an outline of this chapter. And again, this is a violation of this tremendous word, but we have to do it some way. In the first three verses, we have the preeminence of love. Verses 4 to 7, we have the prerogatives of love. And verses 8 through 13, the permanence of love. Or, we have the perpetuity of love. Or, let me give another division. You have the value of love, the virtue of love, and the victory of love. Because back in chapter 12, it was the endowment of gifts. Now we have the energy of gifts. They are to be exercised in love.